So our text is from Galatians 5, these words, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we respond to this text. We react to this text. The exclamation that we should not grow weary of doing good. We respond when we hear that with a sigh. At least we can react to these words of the Holy Spirit, to God's words to us in this way. For we do, on occasion, don't we, react in such a way. I mean, we have our moments, don't we? We have bits of time where we think to ourselves, what's the use? What's the use of doing good, of living how God wants me to live? Living how the Holy Spirit encourages me to live through His Word. Of living a life that Christ was crucified and rose again from the dead for me to live. What's the use continuing to do good when the world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway? Closer to home, why should I even try to do what I should do if my neighbor next door isn't doing it? Or my friend, or even my best friend, my coworker? How about our relatives? Have we ever been discouraged when a relative who's always seems to do the right thing and say the right thing and think the right thing suddenly quits doing so and starts doing all manners of things that aren't right, that are wrong? Yes, part of parenting is to teach our children to live in such a way, to do good constantly. And it's a struggle to do good constantly as an example for them. But it doesn't help when our sister or brother or mom and dad suddenly go off half-cocked. What then do we say to our children? Belabored point? No, I don't think so. A common experience, actually. Demoralizing experience, an oppressive experience. A friend of ours, for example, in Germany witnessed his parents' divorce after raising him and his four siblings into adulthood out of the blue, really. They just announced it to their family. Their reasoning, their justification, their logic, well, they had done their job of raising their kids, and now they were just going to do their own thing. They were going to go their own way and live the rest of their lives by themselves. A few months later, our friend followed suit, abandoning his girlfriend who was caring for his child. Obviously, then, when we ourselves witness the end of such a doing of good, it does become harder for us personally to continue to do good. And it becomes harder to continue to do good because we're faced right in front of us with this question, why continue? Why continue in such a way with our lives when obviously we could be doing something else? I mean, they're doing so. Well, our text from the Apostle Paul, from the Holy Spirit, tells us that we should not grow weary of doing good. For we will reap in due season. That is, we'll see and we'll experience the outcome, the benefit of doing good, of living as we should. Here we can think of the parable of Jesus, in which the servants who were faithful with the monies entrusted to them were rewarded richly by their master upon his return. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, Joseph comes to mind. Joseph being tossed in a well by his brothers, sold into slavery, his father being told he'd been killed, Joseph being taken to Egypt and having to learn a new language and a culture and being richly blessed by God there, but still being thrown into jail for doing good, for doing the right thing. His reputation, his career in shambles, and yet Joseph persisted and he ultimately became the second most powerful person in Egypt through God himself saving the kingdom of Egypt from famine. Similarly, the prophet Daniel, through thick and thin in Babylon. And Jesus. Now, once again, we forget, don't we, of the glorification of Jesus? The glorification of Jesus after his life, his suffering, and his death for us. Yes, we can treat our justification clinically, declaring it to be an established fact, which it is, through faith in Jesus Christ, his suffering and death, then his resurrection from the dead. We stand redeemed and forgiven before our Father in heaven daily in the realization that the sin with which we still struggle is not counted against us. Forgotten, however, is the end result for Jesus, of Jesus not wearying in doing good, of Jesus accomplishing the task that was set before him by his Father in heaven. The end result? His glorification before his Father in heaven, all power in heaven and on earth being given to him. So it's not as if the Holy Spirit in our text is encouraging us to do that which Jesus himself never did nor would do. No. Sure, that's in our future. Our glorification through faith in Jesus, raised again on the last day, taken to be with him in heaven, to reign with him in glory. Yes, that's our future. But what about the now? What about the now? Can't we just use the ways of the world in the meantime to get ahead? To get ahead in the world? Just not go overboard. I mean, isn't it okay to pursue all the world has to offer just so long as we don't rob a bank or kill someone or bring shame upon our family in some way? Yes, yes, we know we have to put off doing good for a while, ignoring our neighbor, our parents, our children, our spouse, as we focus on our needs and our wants and our desires to get what we want, thinking once we have everything we want, then we can start doing the good thing. Of course, we should mention how our text continues, and that is in asserting that our doing of good is, it's not simply restricted to the people we know and the people we love. So then we read in Galatians 5:10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is getting more and more problematic, more and more complex. I mean, if we're not to hold off on our doing of good until we have everything that we need and want, and in doing good that we do is to be done for everyone, how then can it even be understood? I mean, why should we do good to anyone who is, well, as far as we can tell, not good, or not that good, or even bad? Won't we be encouraging them to continue to be bad or to become even worse if we do so, if we're good to them? Key for us in Christ, with the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, is that when we do good, we are in fact, as our text put it, sowing to our spirits. That is, we're strengthening our spirit, our bodies, doing that which our spirits, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by means of our soul, would have us do. That's what that means, sowing to our spirit. Think here of the conflict that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7 between his flesh and his spirit, and how miserable it is when they are actually in conflict. And we know that when we're just conflicted inside of us. I should do this. No, I shouldn't do that. Yes, I should do this. No, I shouldn't do that. But how about when our flesh is subdued and actually does that which our spirit would have it do? That is good. Is that not the same as when two Christians are in agreement with the doing of good and set about doing that good together, encouraging each other along the way? A Christian marriage can be understood in this way, and the raising of a family. And how good is a marriage and a family when there's encouragement? Encouragement to do good, to do the right thing. So the little family within us, which is our body and our soul and our spirit, and when our spirit would have our body by the power of the Holy Spirit do that which it should do, and it does so. And it's not as if there's no reward, no glorification, no reaping in this life for the doing of good. There is, of course there is. Honesty and hard work, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness, they're not just their own rewards, but are the basis for rewards, for glorifications in this life. No, they're not performed, these good works, for such glorification, nor is such glorification that which is the driving force of such good works. No, they're done for they're the right things to do. And in doing the right things, we ourselves, in our spirits and souls, are strengthened, and even strengthened to remain strong in faith until our eternal life. That's what happens when we do good. Yes, the devil will try every means possible to prevent us from thinking in this way, from believing that this is so, from living in this way. He will, even at this moment, bring up a memory in our minds of when we did do good and we suffered for that good, like Joseph, like Jesus even. But how many times has that actually happened in our lives? How many? One? Three? Five? The world, of course, in its cynicism will have us look at ourselves and our lives only as a means by which we can gain wealth and notoriety. So the doing of good can only be done if it fits in, if it fits in with that pursuit. And our flesh, of course, really wants nothing to do with doing good if there's any inconvenience or discomfort to it. So our daily challenge, like that of the Apostle Paul himself, we fight with ourselves to do the good that we should do. But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard, this good that we're to do? Why is it a fight? Well, it's because it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from us. It comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. The light of the world, he's called in John chapter 1. And as the light of the world, what did the very Son of God do but bring light to that which is darkness, that which is marred and dominated by a dog-eat-dog existence, goodness expressed being only a means to an end, or even simply the best of all the bad options for the living of life that there may be. But the goodness that we as Christians express within the world doesn't originate with us. It originates with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's an expression of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. It's goodness expressed, a divine goodness, a heavenly goodness expressed for its own sake to bring light to those who sit in darkness. That is a different way of life than that of some sort of survival of the fittest or the richest or the most good-looking or athletic or musically gifted. Such a world, the only goodness that can be expressed is that of manipulation. Like when the Caesars would throw parties of free food and wine for the entire city of Rome, just so they wouldn't rebel. No, the goodness we would express is that of our Savior Jesus, the light of the world within us. So let's not tire of expressing it, and in due time we will indeed reap if we don't give up. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostle.